From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let us bow together in prayer. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we still our hearts in thy presence today. We draw near to the throne of heavenly grace in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son and our Saviour. We thank thee for the opportunity to be together that we might worship the Lord. We thank thee for this time when the scriptures of truth will be opened and expounded. And we pray that thou wilt draw graciously near, be one of our number today, and speak to every heart. We thank thee for our dear Saviour through whom we come. We praise thee for all the merit of his blood. And we thank thee that therefore with confidence we can draw near to the throne of grace. And we can come boldly that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in this time of need. We thank thee for the Saviour coming into the world. We bless thee for the incarnation. We rejoice that in loving kindness Jesus came, our souls in mercy to reclaim. We thank thee for the life that he lived for us and the death that he died in our stead. And we praise thee that salvation is accomplished through the life and the death of our dear Saviour. We pray that our hearts will be drawn nearer to him. As we come to your word, make it a blessing. We pray that you open our heart to divine truth. We thank thee for the scriptures. We praise thee for the inspiration of them. We rejoice that thou didst move holy men of God in times past to write down your word. And we have it today in our mother tongue. Lord, speak to us. Commune with us. And we pray that God will be glorified and that sinners will be drawn unto Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We're turning in the Word of God to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 3, as we come to read the Scriptures of truth. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honour than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do alway err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Ending our reading at verse 13, we trust that the Lord will bless his word to every heart. We're going to join together in the singing of the hymn, Out of Christ Without a Saviour.
Oh. Welcome the opportunity to share God's word with you via this broadcast. And it is our prayer that the Lord would be pleased to bless the going forth of his word. We invite your attention, please, to Hebrews 3. And the phrase is taken from verses 7 and 8. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. With God's word open before us, let's just unite our hearts for a moment in prayer, please. Our loving God and our Father, we're so thankful that in these dark days in which we live, we have a Bible. We've got God's word in our own mother tongue. We have freedom to read it and to proclaim it. And our prayer is, Lord, as this word goes out upon the airwaves, thou'll be pleased to bless it even to the salvation of souls, to the restoring of the backslidden in heart, and in all things to the glory of thy great name. Give help now from the sanctuary, we ask of thee, in Jesus' name. Amen. This text is applicable both to saved and unsaved. The history of the Jews is replete with instruction, particularly when we consider the great company of men, women and children whom God delivered from the bondage of Egypt so many years ago. We can follow that multitude as the Lord brought them under the guiding hand of Moses out of the slavery of Egypt to that miraculous crossing of the Red Sea on their way to Canaan. We can trace their wanderings in the wilderness over the next 40 years when they saw God's hand at work in so many ways, such as his unfailing provision of their daily food, his deliverance from dangers seen and unseen, his great patience when they displayed their impatience, and his forgiving nature whenever they complained about the conditions. Now, at the very commencement of their journeying, indeed before they even set out from Egypt, God's promise was that he would bring them to a land that flowed with milk and honey. And all he asked of them was that they would obey the Lord, trust him, take him at his word. But that's where the people failed. God's promise concerned their future, but unfortunately, the people just seemed to live for the present. God was promising a future of well-being, of good things, of blessings that he so lavishly bestows upon an obedient people. God is a benevolent God. In his favor is life. And the only reason why so many people lose out with God, even today, is that they want to live for themselves and instead of living for his glory. And since man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever, then it makes sense to take the Lord at his word, to live in obedience to that word. But this is where the human heart shows itself to suffer from depravity. Every man wants to do that which is right in his own eyes. And therefore, obedience to the word of God and to the will of God doesn't form part of man's curriculum. That was so with Israel of old. And it's still the case today. Israel were a stubborn people. And when they could have been making great strides forward toward that blessing that God had promised to them, they dragged their feet, holding on to sinful practices, to idolatry, and therein robbing themselves of the rich blessings that God had promised to them. And what befell that great company of people is the same that befalls men today, who adopt the same attitude and will not allow the Lord to have his way in their lives. Man's attitude is, we will not have this man to reign over us. But because of the dangers involved in such behavior, our Lord issues the warning that we have in the words of our text. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. As we look at this for a moment or two, there are four simple things we want to notice. First of all, you have the voice referred to. Today, if ye will hear his voice. The first mention of anything in Scripture is always important. And the first time we have the voice of God mentioned is back in Genesis. When God created man and placed him in the Garden of Eden, Adam enjoyed fellowship with his Maker. At that time, God spoke audibly to the man. He had no Bible. That was a tremendous privilege. And isn't it interesting that Adam should understand every word that God said to him, even though he'd never been to school? Beloved, even if you were never educated, yet if God speaks to your heart, you'll know it's God speaking. Well, how do you know? Because he will show you yourself. If you know yourself to be a poor sinner, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior, that's education enough for heaven. Adam was able to communicate with God in perfect harmony. But then came the time when Eve fell foul of the devil's subtlety, and both Adam and she gave in the hour of temptation. Sin suddenly blighted that sweet communion with the Lord. And the next time we have Adam and his wife, the next time they heard the voice of God, they tried to hide themselves. Genesis 3, 8 to 10 reads, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said," now notice these words, "he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Sin caused Adam shame and left him that he couldn't face meeting the Lord. Sin does that, you know. When we begin to, we can't begin to define the holiness of God and why it is that he can't abide sin, but we must say, woe betide that man or woman who dies in a sinful condition to go out into eternity to meet God in a sinful state. Sadly, people are doing that every day. But what calamity. One thing you should recognize, beloved, is that when you hear the voice of God first, you're hearing the voice of mercy. It's not God's will that you should perish in your sin, but that you should come in repentance of that sin and exercise faith in the person of Jesus Christ, the only Savior. It is out of his great mercy that God calls any sinner. And what is mercy but God withholding from the sinner the punishment that is due because of his sins against the Lord? And according to his mercy, God has given this promise in Isaiah 55:7. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Now, not only is this the voice of mercy, it's the only voice that is directed, is connected with the sinner's salvation. Scripture is definite on this, for it states, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There are multitudes of people today, well-meaning people, even religious people, who want to see heaven one day, but they depend upon their own efforts or the traditions of their particular brand of religion to fit them for heaven. But God's word makes it clear that only in Christ is salvation to be had. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." How many know those words yet continue to live without Christ? Somehow hope to see heaven one day. Beloved, it cannot be. Scripture is clear. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. He will not see the kingdom of God. Now, what is it about Christ that causes any man to harden his heart against him? Why would your heart be hardened against him, that you won't receive him into your life? After all, he gave his very life's blood in order to buy pardon for you and buy you peace with God. Do you feel that he hasn't done enough? You know, the punishment for sin was all borne in the body of Christ as he hung there on the cross. There's no need for the sinner to suffer. Christ rose again from the grave to give the sinner hope, not just for this life, but for eternity. And the thing is, if you receive him to be your Savior, he'll fit you for heaven. Is not what you desire? Is it not so, beloved, that you have hardened your heart because you're too fond of your sin? You're not willing to give it up. And so you reject him. Isn't it the truth that you don't believe that Christ can give you a better life than the one you're living? Well, the devil has you fooled, hasn't he? God's promise is life more abundant. And he has proved his love for you when he died at Calvary. How can you then harden your heart against such a Saviour who has done so much to make heaven possible for you? While you linger in sin, you're only serving the devil. And when he's finished with you, you'll end up in the torments of the lake of fire forever. Is that what you want? If Christ died to keep you out of that place, how can you harden your heart against him and reject his offer of mercy? Notice secondly here the attention demanded. Now, whether God speaks to you through his word or through some particular circumstance, he only speaks to you because of his love for your soul. It's not his will, as we've said, that you should perish, but that you might come to repentance, finish with sin, trust him to save you for eternity. Why do men and women continually throw God's mercy back in his face? They say, like those who gathered around the cross, let him be crucified. To choose sin before the Saviour is like taking up the hammer and nailing him once more to that cruel cross. But why? Why would anybody harden his heart against such a Saviour? Does your sin mean that much to you? The reason why God speaks at all is because we need to hear his speaking voice. We need to give attention. We need to obey his voice. The Bible states, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And when God's word sets before us the ways of life, and the way to heaven, surely it makes sense to give heed. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So says James 1:5. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Acts 3:19. And notice what this text doesn't say. It doesn't say today if ye hear his voice. It says today if ye will hear his voice. Harden not your hearts. Attention is demanded. There's urgency here. I mean, you may hear many sounds in the course of a day and never give a second thought to them. But this is no ordinary sound. We're talking here about the voice of God Almighty. If ye will hear his voice, this text suggests either a willingness to hear or an unwillingness to hear. And this is where the critical response comes in. How do you respond when you do hear? Will you hear? In other words, will you give heed to his voice? Your attention is required in this. You know, if God should choose to pass you by and never speak to you, you'd be doomed. You would carry on the road to hell undisturbed. And what a lamentable eternity you would face. Ah, but God hasn't passed you by, has he? He's called your name simply because he wants to save you and fit you for heaven. Now, maybe he called you in a children's meeting some years ago. Maybe he spoke to your heart in a Sunday school class. Or perhaps he called you when you were standing at the graveside of some dear one. And you knew as you stood there, you should be closing in with his offer of mercy. You should be finishing with sin. You should be laying hold upon Christ, but you didn't do it, did you? And today your heart is even harder. But we must move on here. Notice thirdly the period specified for hearing God's voice. Notice what the text says, today. Today if you will hear his voice. Now we talk about the days of Moses, or we can say in Moses' day this happened, this, that happened, or some other Bible character. We think of our own day as being the days and years of our lifetime. However, when we refer to the day of gospel opportunity, whilst it's true the gospel has been preached for years, for men and women to live during that day, it is a day of opportunity for them to make their peace with God. Yet we must also recognize what the scripture says about our days. In Genesis 27:2, Isaac said, behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. That's bringing it right down to the literal 24 hours, isn't it? No matter how many days we may have in this life or how few, it must be remembered that it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Ecclesiastes 8:8 says, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. Beloved, no matter how fit and strong you may be, when death comes, you'll have no resistance to offer. It'll be taken away. And make no mistake, if you die without Christ as your Saviour, you're doomed for all eternity. Very quickly in closing, there's the caution here about ignoring his voice. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. This hardening of the heart is a natural tendency. We recognize that. It's too easy to run away from those occasions when our hearts are spoken to. How many will cross the street to avoid an open-air preacher? How many stay away from God's house because they know what they're going to hear and they don't want to hear it? Hardening the heart against the only one that can save them. Where's the sense in that? Now, beloved, the Lord speaks to your heart even through this little message. Will you not cry to God for the grace to have done with your sin and lay hold upon him and know the joy of sins forgiven and peace with God? And just in closing, can I say that this word actually, this passage was written to believers? Is there a believer here listening to the broadcast? And the Lord has put some challenge in your heart and you've hardened your heart against it. You've said, I'm not going down that road, Lord. No, that's not for me. Beloved, don't rob yourself of the blessing of God. If you're saved, give yourself afresh to the Lord. Let him use you for his glory. If you're not saved, come and trust him today. Take him as your Savior. You have everything to lose by rejecting him. Don't let it be said that your heart became so hard there was no room for Christ. Whatever you do, don't perish in your sin. Trust him to save you. Let him bless you and make it be a blessing. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, take what is of thyself. Write thy word upon every waiting heart, we pray of thee. Grant that Christ might indeed be glorified in the lives of his people and in the salvation of the lost. We pray that in all these things thy name would indeed be magnified and thy kingdom extended. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv.